right, welcome to part four of our series that we've entitled Face to Face. And before we get started, I just want to just give another shout out, and that is to all of our small group leaders. What a phenomenal job that you guys are doing. Can we just thank all those that have been leading our small groups? We've actually started our small groups a year ago and had our first semester last fall, and then had a spring semester, had a short six-week summer semester, and now we're getting ready to launch again for the fall, and just building on what we've laid down over the past year, and really excited about small groups. And the reason we're so excited about small groups around here is that we believe that life change happens in the context of relationships. And so it's very important that we get in relationship with one another, and you get close enough to somebody that you could take the mask off and you can help them and they can help you. And because, you know, there's certain things that happen on Sunday morning, and those things are phenomenal and great, and we just believe that great things are going to happen today. But we also believe that you need to break it down. You need to get into a relationship with somebody where you can get close enough where you can share something that you haven't shared with somebody else. And I'm not talking about getting in the middle of a circle and spilling all your goods to everybody. I'm talking about just being in relationship where you can find that person that you can talk with and share with, and you can pray with one another, because there's strength in that. The Bible says pray for one another that you may be healed. So real excited about next week. I just want to kind of echo the announcement that you just heard about small groups, because next week is our showcase of small groups. Now, if you don't know what that looks like, you've been here for that in the past, what that looks like is that after service next Sunday, we're going to have tables set up, going to be in their foyer. We're going to have these doors. If you're new to our church, this was not a fire department. We designed this way on purpose. Those garage doors back there actually open up with a purpose. And we want to spill out on the lawn, and we're going to have just all kind of things. People are going to be trying to get you in their small group, and you're going to get to go around and kind of shop which kind of small group you'd like to be a part of. You know, birds of a feather flock together. Not every group fits every person. So we encourage you. It's a free market kind of approach. It's a 13-week semester, and this is just a great time to be here so you can jump in at the onset of this. And so it's going to be awesome. I mean, people are actually going to be handing you a $100 bill to come and join their group. You know, I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I've tried, you know. Anyway, just, but it's going to be a lot of fun. There probably will be food, so just get ready for that. I know we've had some people that have the gift of cooking. I personally have the gift of eating, so it works out really well, you know. I tell people, I'm in shape, you know, rounds of shape. All right, so anyway, but just really excited about that, our new beginning of our semesters. And let me just kind of whet your appetite here just a little bit. We've got a group called Family Life. It's going to meet up in the Concord area, and we're going to talk about higher love, dealing with marriage. There's going to be a group here that actually is meeting here, a small group on Wednesday evenings here at Cross Point from 6:30 to 7:30, and they're going to be doing a study of Nehemiah that's led by Janice Henson. And then there's going to be a prayer small group. And by the way, we just finished 21 days of prayer here every morning from 7 to 8. We were here for 21 days. Yeah, it was awesome. It was just awesome. And just had a prayer breakfast yesterday and concluded that. Just powerful as we connected actually with other churches around the country. Thousands of people meeting. Some of them a lot earlier than we met, because they were on a different time zone. But we met from 7 to 8 every morning. It was just a great time. Some of you I know connected from home on your devices, on your iPad, your computer, your phone, what have you, as that was live streamed. But on Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, we have a group that meets here. And by the way, it's not just intended to be a small group. This is actually there's several different aspects of the prayer ministry here and the prayer small groups. But I want to tell you, Saturday is for everybody to come together on Saturday at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning and pray. I just want to encourage you, because we did 21 days of prayer, but today's 22. We want it to continue. We hope that you just, you know, and even if you're not an intercessor, you don't have the gift of intercession per se, there's different gifts God gives people, but we all are called to pray. You can't get by that one. We all need to pray and stay connected to God. And I believe something powerful happens when we come together and pray. There's biblical examples of that. Your prayer time alone is one thing. That's the personal prayer time you need. But I think something powerful happens when we come together, assemble together. And in the New Testament, the place was shaken when they prayed together. And so believing for great things to happen. That's a prayer group. Forgive me for spending a little extra time on that, but that's so important. It's the backbone of everything that we do here. It's built on prayer. And then there's a group called Play Group. I want to be in that group. That's the play group. Actually, that's for moms that have young children. They get together, the kids play, and the moms encourage one another. Great, great group. Just be aware of that. There's also a group called Why I Believe. It's a men's group. And that's going to be meeting in the university area. There'll be more details about that next week. And here's an interesting one. There's going to be one called Cross Point Songwriters and Production Small Group. And so this is a group that's actually going to meet and work on writing songs. And even if you're not necessarily, maybe you're poetic, and you know how to put some poems together. We can actually, this group is going to work on using that and pulling things together and actually making writing some songs and actually recording them. They're going to be originals from Crosspoint. That's going to be awesome. So there's a Financial Peace University that's going to be happening on Monday nights. Dave Ramsey course that's going to be given here on Monday nights at 7 o'clock each Monday. So just be aware of all these. Also, our life-to-life missions, be sure and connect with Designers, who is also in the process of adopting orphans from Ukraine. Be sure and connect with them. That's a small group and a dream team. That just qualifies for both of those, but that's a passion and a point of passion for our church. And so just be sure and be here next week. I know I took a little extra time to tell you all about that, but those things are so important. I just want us to really, really all hands on deck and really get involved. My desire is that every person in this church gets in a small group, because it's one thing to come on Sundays, come and go and leave, but we want you to get connected, and this is a way that we believe that we can get connected together and connected to God and really see growth happen in our church. So just want to mention that to you. Let's move quickly into our study here that we're looking at, our study of face-to-face. And let's just start right off with Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, which is our foundation for this series that we are in. And this scripture says that the Lord would speak to Moses face-to-face as a man speaks with his friend. And this describes the relationship that Moses had with God. He had such a close, intimate relationship with God that it is described that when he talked to God, it was as he was talking as a man speaks with his friend. And I just think that is phenomenal. I think that's something we need to understand, and that is that God truly wants to be your best friend. He's not against you. He's not come to bring the hammer down on you and make life hard for you and I. God has come for you. He is for you. He's all about you. Everything he does is for you. And he wants to be our best friend. And he wants us to understand that when we talk to him, we don't have to get into this formal dialect of these these and thous, as if Jesus was, you know, of the King James Version. By the way, he predated that. Y'all know that, right? Okay? And sometimes when we pray in this formal fashion. We talk to our friend one way, but we talk to God in an entirely different other way. And it's almost creates a distance kind of relationship. What I want us to get this morning, and that is that the relationship we're to have with God is as a man talking with his friend. And I love the scripture found in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, it's from the Message translation, and I love the way it's put. Whenever, though, they, and that speaks of us, that speaks of the church, whenever they turned to face God as Moses did, in other words, we determined we're going to go after God, and that's what this series is about, going after God, seeking him, wanting to get into a face face-to-face relationship with Him, it says that this is what happens. God removes the veil. And so that whatever that thing is that creates a distance between you and Him, whatever it is that's, that has Him there and you're here and you're just not close, when we go after God, God removes that veil. And there they are, face-to-face. There's the title of our series, Face-to-Face. And it says that they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. He's not just a piece of flannel graph from a Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. He's not just a historic guy that you see movies about. But no, He is a living spirit. He is a personal and He is present. And it says that when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation, and we can put the word there, religion, because a lot of times religion actually gets in God's way. But what God wants is not your religion. He wants not just religious activity, but He wants a relationship. It says that constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining, and look at this. This is a process that then happens. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. We begin to look like Him. We begin to reflect His love the closer we get to Him. Just like when you're married to someone, you begin to look like them and sound like them after a while, right? As we get in relationship with God, it says that we begin to look like Him, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually, that's incrementally, step by step, becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Now this morning, I want to dive very quickly into a couple of illustrations as we talk this morning about encounters on purpose. Encounters on purpose. Because throughout Scripture, and we brought this out last week, and that is that the same thing happens every time throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter, when there is an encounter with God, always, always the same thing happens. And that is that God touches a person's life. He reveals Himself and they have this encounter with Him where they recognize who God is. And then after that encounter, there begins this process of change, this cleansing, this changing where we're becoming more like Him. And then the third thing that always happens is He always gives us an assignment. And that is, He says, go do something. To Moses, it was like, He said, go deliver my people out of bondage. Right? To Paul, He said, go reach the Gentiles and write 2/3 of the New Testament while you read it. Let's choose you to do that. And for each person, we all have a different assignment to do. But what I want us to understand, an encounter with God is not just so we come on Sunday morning and have a good feeling and good goosebumps and get, you know, wow, wasn't that good? Go home, roast beef, you know? And that's as far as it goes. But actually, there is a purpose. When God comes into our life and He wants us to encounter His presence and He wants to change us, but then He's got an assignment for us. And I just hope you get that through the series. I'm reiterating this over and over again because I want you to get that. It's not about just coming to church, business as usual, and going home. There's more to life than just going to work, taking care of bills, right? Cleaning dishes. Come on, women. Or men, excuse me. Men too. Men, you clean dishes too. That was bad, was it? I'm in trouble there. Trying to connect, stay out of trouble. Thank you, sweetheart, for helping me there. There's more to life, though, than going through the motions, everybody. There's more to life than that. But God has an assignment. God has an assignment, a specific calling for every person. And I don't believe, I think it's one thing to know you're born on this earth. It's another thing to know why you're on this earth. And we all need to know why we're on the earth. I don't believe you'll really be happy as a person until you figure that out. Otherwise, you just get in the doldrums and life just, and you die there. Something inside dies when you go through this motion and there's no purpose and there's no reason. I want us to see this morning that God wants us to have encounters on purpose. I want us to look at, first of all, Gideon's encounter. And let me just set it up with the first six verses of this chapter, of chapter six of Gideon, of Judges, where it talks about, it just lays out some history here. This is not in your notes, but this is just, I just need to lay this foundation. Look at this. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. And so it's interesting because when when we're doing right, when we're in right relationship with God, we're going to have peace. But when we decide to go our own way, God says, okay, I'm going to allow you to go there. Not that he's abandoned us, but the hope is that as we come to the end of ourselves and the end of our ways, we'll discover our need for him. And here's where Israel was. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. And listen to this. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. I want you to get the picture of this. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. Look at how this is described. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. They were so overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed by life and problems and difficulties? Well, Israel was greatly overwhelmed. The enemy against them was described as locusts, just covered the land. You couldn't even count them. There were so many, and they would come in, and they would just ravage the land. And anytime Israel would get a step forward, they would plant something, it would begin to grow, it would begin to produce some fruit, then the enemy would come in and devour it and pull them back. It's every time they try to get ahead, they would be pulled back. Have you ever been there where you try to get ahead and there's just something that just continues to pull you back? That's where Israel was. But look what Israel did. It said that they cried unto the Lord. And it goes on to describe that when Israel cried to the Lord, that he sent them a prophet with a message. And the message was a reminder that it was God that delivered them out of Egypt. It was God that had brought them out. And when he brought them out, he gave them instructions not to worship other gods. But they did not obey him. And the reason they were in the fix they were in was because they had not put God first in their life. Now, we need to understand this, first and foremost. A lot of our problems is we just got our life out of order. In fact, I believe that's what salvation really is all about, is just putting our life back in order where God is number one in our life. And until we put God number one and first in our life, nothing is going to work and everything's going to be out of order and there's not going to be any peace in our life. And here was the case of Israel. They were in this place and so the prophet came with this reminder. Now notice that God responded when they cried out to him. But he let them know that there was a reason why they were in this situation. You need to understand when we're in a situation that's difficult, we first need to understand why we're there and what it was that got us there. And Israel was going their own way, doing their own thing. And even the book of Judges, the very last verse of the whole book, describes it this way. It says that in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Another translation says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. But interesting that this chapter begins by saying that they did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And sometimes we can do things that we think is right in our eyes, but it's not pleasing unto the Lord. There is a way that seems right. Well, the Bible says that that way is death. In other words, that way is not going to produce life for you. But notice this. When we get desperate and call on God, he will answer us. That's good news, everybody. When we get desperate and we call unto him, and by the way, let me just say this. Before you call, he's already aware of your need before you even call. But he wants you to call on him because he wants to have a relationship with you, and he's requiring that you give him the right to come into your life and for him to establish order into your life. But before you call on him, he already sees your need. Here's the problem. The problem is that we fail to see our need, and our need is a vibrant relationship with God where he is first in our lives. Put another way, he sees us always, but we don't always see him. We don't always see our need of him. I want you to look at this first your first blank there. If you're taking notes, you got message notes in your worship guide there. Write this down. God sees me and comes that I may see him. God sees me and comes that I may see him. Look at what happens here. Judges chapter 6 is there in your message notes, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came. And by the way, theologians say that really is describing Jesus Christ. There's places where he appeared in the Old Testament. I know there's some deep theology there. But that when it speaks of that, the angel of the Lord, it actually is speaking of the Lord himself. It says that the angel of the Lord came and sat down. Listen to this. He sat down under the oak tree of Ophrah. And I just have to pause there. I think that's so beautiful. Because what we see here is that Gideon is hiding. He's in a bad place. He's in a place where he's overwhelmed. He can't get ahead. And the Lord just shows up. I just love this. I don't know if y'all are getting much out of this or not. I love this. But he just shows up and he just sits under the tree there with him. I think we need to be reminded today that God knows where we are, and God sees you. He knows where you are. He's aware, and he cares greatly about you. And his hope is this, though, that through the difficulties you face, you will come to realize your need of him. Look what happens here. He sits down under the oak tree there. It says, where Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now, this is interesting. He's threshing wheat, but he's not doing it where he's supposed to be doing it, on the mountaintop where you would do that kind of thing. He's actually doing it in a place of hiding in the wine press, which would be in the valley. He's down there trying to hide from the enemy to keep the enemy from stealing his stuff. Are you following me? So here's Gideon. He's in this place where he's hiding, and get this, he is very oppressed. Could not get ahead. Opposition pulling him back. Perhaps there have been times in your life where opposition comes and it pulls you back. Here's what I want you to see. God wants you to know that he sees you and he's with you and he's for you. And God has come that you may see him, that he may reveal himself to you. He wants you to know this fact. God's the answer. He is your answer. Look at this. Write this down. This is in your notes. Your blanks there. God comes that I may see myself as he sees me. Look at the next thing that happens. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Another translation says, "Mighty man of valor." Now, this is kind of, I find it kind of funny. But Gideon says, pardon me. I just love that. Pardon me, mighty man of warrior. I am oppressed. I'm hiding. I'm overwhelmed. I got problems. I got issues. And you're calling me a mighty man of valor. You're calling me a mighty warrior. But notice this. Notice how God sees you. Here's the key to this. Look closely at that verse with me. It says, the Lord is with you. And that comes first. Mighty warrior. When the Lord is with you, all things are possible. Are you getting this, everybody? He said, the Lord is with you. Now that the Lord is with you, guess what? You are now a mighty man of warrior. And God wants us to understand our identity in him, not in ourselves, not in our problems, not in our situation, not in our circumstances, but God wants us to understand who our identity is and who in him, in Christ, all right? So look at this. Gideon says, pardon me, Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And oftentimes we're very quick to do that with the Lord. When we do something, when things are going wrong, we say, Lord, why did all this happen to you? If you were with us, this wouldn't be happening. Sometimes we think, in fact, what did we do wrong? When it might be that everything you're doing is actually right. But things are going to happen, but here in this situation, they had done wrong. But look at this. Notice how God sees you. Be careful not to evaluate God by your circumstances. Be careful not to evaluate His love for you based on your problems, because His love is for you regardless of what's happening around you. Everybody, you need to get that. His love is for you regardless of what is happening around you. I love this verse in Romans chapter 8. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that great? And I think sometimes we evaluate, well, God, you must not be for me. Or I must have really disappointed you, and really, God, I don't know where you are. I guess you're mad at me, but let me tell you something. God is waiting for you just to call out to Him so He can run to your rescue, reveal Himself to you, let Him let you know your need of Him, and let you know that He is the answer to your need. Amen? Here he was in a situation, but God was trying to declare a new identity. Our identity is that we are the beloved of the Lord. And our identity is this, that God sees you through the finished work of Christ, right? God sees us not just in our failures. God sees us in the finished, accomplished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. He doesn't see, you know, we get up sometimes in the morning and we look at ourselves and we look in the mirror and we find one speck and we think the whole world is going to look at that one speck right here, you know, And we look at ourselves and we evaluate ourselves oftentimes with all kind of baggage as we look in the mirror at ourselves of what we present ourselves as. And I want to tell you something. When you come to Christ, the past is the past and all things have become new and you are a new creation in Christ and you're identified in Him. And I want to tell you, your position in Him is you are whole and you are clean and you stand before Him perfect. I said perfect. Oh, I thought Christians weren't perfect. No, you're not perfect, but He is perfect. And you're hid, your life is hid in Christ. And when God sees you, He sees you through His perfect Son, Jesus Christ. It's not our righteousness, but it's His righteousness. So we're able to stand before Him completely whole and righteous in what He did at the cross 2,000 years ago when He died and He redeemed us for Himself. Amen? Amen. Come on, everybody. That's worth thanking God for right there. Look, notice this next point. God comes that I may see His purpose for my life. Let's read on. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go." It's almost like he didn't even hear his excuse. He said, "Look, I can't do this. I'm the weakest one in my family. I can't do this." And the Lord turns to him and says, "Go in the strength you have and make Israel out and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And then here's another, "Pardon me. Pardon me, Lord, my Lord." Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And I just love the answer the Lord gives him. "I will be with you. I will be with you." Which tells us it's not about you. It's not about your strength. It's not about your weakness. It's not about your family or your family tree or your heritage or your environment or your situation or your job or your income or your looks or your talents. It's about Him. Amen? It's about His ability. It's about His enabling power. When Gideon complained, God simply said, "Go." He said, "Pardon me." But he said, "Go." The Lord's answer is, "I will be with you." God will always empower you to accomplish His purpose. And when He calls you to do something, it requires a relationship with Him to pull it off. And that's what God was showing Gideon. "I'm going to be with you. I'm asking you to do something that's bigger than you are." I know He knows that. But the beauty of that is for you to pull it off, to accomplish it, you're going to have to lean on Him. So He calls us into something greater and bigger than ourselves, and I just love that. Calls us into something greater and bigger than ourselves so that we will have to depend upon Him and have that relationship with Him. Are you getting this?
Are you seeing this?
And so, here's the way the story continues on. Gideon, he says, well, let me make sure here what's going on. He said, let me fix a meal for you. I'm going to go kill a goat, and I'm going to serve some meat, and I'm going to have some bread, and I got some broth in there, and I'm going to serve you a meal. And the angel says, okay, I'll wait on you. He goes and he prepares it, and he brings it back. When he brings it back, the angel says, put it on this rock here. Put the broth over it. Cover it with the broth. And when he did that, the angel took his staff and he touched the meal, and it caught on fire. And the whole meal was consumed, and in a moment, the angel disappeared. Well, Gideon realized what was going on at this point and scared him to death. And here's what he exclaims in verse 21. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. There's our series title, Face to Face. But notice what happens. Notice the response. And that is found in Judges chapter 6, verse 23. But the Lord said to him, peace. He reappeared and said, peace. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. This next point, God comes that I may experience his peace. He wants us to know his purpose, and he wants us to experience his peace. I think I missed that one, didn't I? God comes that I may see his purpose for my life. Did I miss that? Okay. And look at this. God comes that I may experience his peace. His peace. And he says, Gideon, you're not going to die. And I think sometimes we need to understand that getting closer to God, sometimes we think, well, that's going to cost me too much. It's going to cost something. I can't do that. Let me tell you something. When you're not in right relationship with him, that's where you die. The closer you get to him, the more involved you get with him, the more assignment you accept that he gives you, I'm going to tell you, the more you live. Are you following me? The more you live. He says, it'll actually bring you peace. And if we could understand this, to discover what God's called us to do, it'll produce peace in our life like nothing else will. And the story goes on. Let me just move quickly through the balance of this story. The story goes on where that night he gets up enough courage to go out and tear down the altar of Baal and establish an altar for God. Interestingly, he does it at night. He's afraid to do it in the broad daylight, so he does it in the darkness of night when nobody's around, where he doesn't get resistance. And so the next morning when everybody wakes up, they realize it's Gideon that did it. They're ready to kill him, but God orchestrates some grace, and he survives that situation there. But then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon, and he sounds a trumpet, and he rallies a bunch of people with him that's going to go fight this battle against the Midianites to deliver them out of the hand of the Midianites. And as that takes place, then Gideon, he still needs more encouragement. I just love the way God works with you one step at a time. Wherever you are in your faith, God starts where you are, and he's patient to work with you to grow your faith. And so Gideon, he puts out this fleece, this wool fleece, and he says, God, okay, help me here if this is really you. Now, God just showed that he was really there. And yet Gideon said, I need more. this thing is overwhelming that I'm facing. I really need to know you're with me. And so he puts out this fleece and he says, God, tonight, let this fleece be completely wet and all of dew and all the ground around it dry. Next morning he gets up, he takes the fleece, it's completely wet, the ground is dry. He wrings out a bowl full of water out of it, and that's not enough. He says, okay, God, will you do it again? Tonight I'm going to put the fleece out, and would you let the fleece be dry and all the ground be wet around it? And sure enough, he got up, the fleece was dry, and it was wet all around it. And then God spoke to him because he said, I know you're having a hard time here, and I'm going to help you, but first of all, you've got too many people. He had 32,000 that showed up to go to war. And God said, tell the ones that are afraid, just go home. Let me tell you something. God works with faith. He said, if you're fearful, just go home. Well, to his surprise, 22,000 left him. And it was left with 10,000. He's like, wait a minute. Are you sure, God? And then God said, let me put them, you still got too many. What do you mean too many? I went from 32 down to 22, and the enemy is like locusts. You can't even count them for number. And God says, you got too many. And narrows him down. He says, I'll tell you what, have them go drink by the brook. And those that get down and lap like a dog, pull those aside. And those that take their hand and cup up the water and drink it like this, watching, pull those aside. And the ones that lapped like a dog, just got down on the hands and knees and lapped, drunk up the water, God said, send them home. And to Gideon's surprise, the ones that cupped with their hands was only 300. So God says, now that's perfect. That's who you're going to use. I want to just show you something. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God doesn't need your power. God doesn't need your numbers. God doesn't need your talent. God doesn't need your money. God just wants you. And he wants you to be able to surrender to him and know that it's by his power that he's going to do great things in your life. And so, you know, you probably know the story. Gideon still needed encouragement. And God said, okay, I'll tell you what. Tonight I want you to go into the enemy's camp. I want you to get near their tent, and I want you to listen, because there's going to be something you're going to hear that's going to encourage you. And he gets near the tent. He hears a conversation taking place with some of the Midianites. And one was telling the other about a dream. And they said, I had a dream that this barley loaf came rolling down this hill, and it was so strong, it just broke down the tent. And one guy interpreted it. He said, that is nothing but the hand of Gideon. And God has given the Midianites into the hand of Gideon. And when Gideon heard that, he took encouragement that it was a word from the Lord that he was with them. So then he only had 300 people. And you know what he did? He split them up into the three companies. So now it's only 100 here, 100 there, and 100 there. And instead of putting weapons in their hand, you know what they had? They had trumpets. They had horns. They had glass jars with torches inside. And they all had a little hammer thing. They were going to just break this glass, making a loud noise, and sound the trumpet all at on his cue and yelled the sword of Gideon and of the Lord, right? And that was the plan. And if I was there, I'd be saying, I want to go with those that were afraid, right? But instead, but here's what happened. You know the story. I'm one of those that I believe you got to finish the story. When I was growing up, a pastor would tell part of the story never finish it, make points and never finish it. You know the story. They overtook the enemy. They destroyed the enemy. Those that were, and what happened was they got up in the middle of the night. They heard the trumpets. They started turning on each other. They started killing each other. They ran for their life. And not only that, they collected a spoil out of it all at the end of the day. And there was a great victory. What I want us to see here is that God comes to encourage you. And if you feel oppressed and you feel trodden down and you feel overwhelmed, God comes to encourage and to deliver the oppressed. But let me just quickly throw in one more quick story. In this case, it was the oppressed, but there was a guy in the New Testament that was the oppressor. His name was Saul, and he oppressed the Christians so bad, and he was a religious guy and thought he was in the right. He thought he had it all together, and he was killing off Christians, and yet God reach down to the oppressor. I'm going to tell you, whether you're oppressed, you are the oppressed, or you're the oppressor. You may be against this thing and not getting this thing and think and don't understand. Listen, God wants a relationship with you. And so here he was, the oppressor. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Then he neared Damascus on his journey. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. And then he said, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The same thing happens every time. God touches a person, changes their life, they have an encounter with them, and then he says, go. It's right. It's there in every encounter. Go, I got something for you to do. But what I want us to see here is that Gideon struggled with his faith and growing his faith to the level where he could really step out. But I love this about Paul. Paul was the type of a man who actually just was willing to just take a step of faith, not even knowing what lied ahead. Look at what he did. Step one, and this is what I want us to see. I want us to learn from both of these, but I want us to put down some points that can help you and understanding why God wants to have an encounter on purpose with you and what steps that you need to take. Number one, take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. When you're in a relationship with the Lord, it's going to require faith. God operates in faith. Look at what Paul did. He said, and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. He didn't even know what was going to happen. He's a guy who'd been running around killing Christians, and God said, go submit yourself to these Christians. But he went not knowing. And sometimes God doesn't give you all the answers ahead of time. Why does he do that? Because he wants you to depend upon him one day at a time, to walk with him and to walk it out and to be in relationship with him. Sometimes God just draws you to things and you just got to seek it out. You got to seek it out. It's like walking into a mall. You ever walk into a mall and that smell hits you? And you know what it is? It's Cinnabon. You know? And you don't know where it's coming from, but you got to seek it out. And you got to get that thing, and you got to put your lips on that thing, even though it may kill you. You got to go there. I want to tell you, it may sound a little funny, but God will draw you, and he'll pull you to things. And we may not know what lies ahead, but God has something great in store for us if we'll follow him. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So here's what we got to do. We got to take a step of faith. That's why I want to encourage you. Get into a small group. Come to Growth Track 401 today and discover what God's called you to do, and get into a dream team and get doing something. Do something. Take a step, because you got to do something. It matters. That really matters. Second thing, and that is expect resistance. And I hate this one. I hate this step, but expect resistance. When you do something for God, expect resistance. The enemy will fight you. You might say, well, I don't know why everything's going wrong. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. It may be that actually you're doing everything right. As one guy said, if you're not butting heads with the devil every now and then, you might be walking in the same direction with him. You know, you're going to have resistance. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 23. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. That's what Paul said. He said, but I'm going. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. And really, when you look at that word in the Greek, that word stopped is really not that good of a word in the English, but it really means to cut a ditch in your road. To cut a ditch in your road. When God has a purpose for your life, I just want to tell you, folks, as a pastor, God has a purpose for your life, but the enemy's job is to try to put a ditch in your road, to put something to keep you from getting there, to cause you to miss it, to cause you to get offended, to cause you to go a different direction, to cause you to get discouraged. But I just want to encourage you, press on. Press on. Let's don't let the ditch dictate our course. Don't let it stop you, but press on. Resistance is going to happen, but be determined. Make up your mind that you're going to press on. Number three, focus on eternity. Focus on eternity. Acts 20 and 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, Paul said, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So that's all that matters. Honestly, I think we put way too much emphasis on what we get in the here and now. Did you know that this life is a vapor? What really matters is eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we, listen to this, we were singing this today. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word today that you send to us to remind us that you want to have an encounter with us. It's one thing to read about Gideon's encounter. It's another thing to read about Paul's encounter. But it's quite another to have our own encounter with you. And today, help us to know that your love reaches to us, whether we are oppressed on every side? We're the one that perhaps is even oppressing others. In either case, God, you come to enter our hearts and do a new thing. You've come to establish us, establish who we are in you, establish peace in our life, and give us purpose, fulfillment in life. Today, Lord, help us to discover that. Help us to discover your presence right now in this place. Remind us you're with us. You're for us. You're here now to help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heads are bowed. Eyes are still closed. I want to give an opportunity today. Somewhere in this message, God's been speaking to you. You're that person that maybe just is going through the motions. You're getting things done. Life is happening, but something's missing. I just want to offer to you a suggestion, and that is that it may be that you just need an encounter with God again. It may be that you've encountered him in the past, but somehow or other life has happened, and God is not number one in your life. He's not on purpose, but somehow things have taken his place. I want to encourage you today, make him number one in your life. Make him number one in your life. When he's number one in your life, when you go after him and say, God, I want you first in my life, here's what's going to happen. He's going to come into your heart in such a way, he's going to reveal himself and let you know that he loves you, he's with you, he's for you. He's going to begin to change your heart and cause you to walk in the direction of purpose and the direction of peace. If that's you today, you know that you need peace that you just don't have. I want to do this. I want to pray a simple prayer with you. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just want to lead you in a prayer, a simple prayer right where you're sitting. Give you an opportunity to make a decision today. A decision that's not just about this life, but it's about the life to come. And God will give you a purpose. And God will give you a destiny today if you'll just be willing to do this simple thing, and that is surrender. Surrender your heart to him. If that's you today, and you say, that's me, Pastor, I need to make a decision of surrendering today. There's something in my life, an area in my life, I need to really give to him that I just haven't let go of. And today, I'm ready to do that. I want to surrender to him. If that's you, very quickly, just right where you're sitting, would you just slip up a hand? You put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand and put it right back down. I just want to agree with you. Anyone else? God bless those of you that have raised your hands. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, count me in. All right now, everyone just be very still for just a moment. Would you just, those of you that raised your hand, and if you're here, you just need to pray this prayer. Would you just pray this in your heart to the Lord? Just breathe this prayer to the Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I give my life to you. Today I want you to be first above all else. Bring order and peace back into my life. By faith, I accept that you paved the way for me to have a relationship with you when you paid for my sins and all my past. Died on the cross for my sins. By faith, I accept you. By faith, I receive you. I declare you as the Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord. I invite you in now. Say those words. I give you my life. I give you my life. With your help, I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Lord, I celebrate today all those that have prayed that prayer. And I pray now that they would experience the presence and the peace of the Holy Spirit as you continue to guide them and direct them, as you continue to grow them, Lord. And Lord, right now I pray for this entire church. May we know your peace as we walk in your purpose, as we walk in that thing that you've called us to do. Even when we think we're not able to do it, God, we look to you and we know it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So I pray that you would encourage that one that wants to step out, that hasn't had the faith and the courage to do it. I pray today would be a day of strengthening, that they'll step out and that thing that you've called them to do, that thing you've laid on their heart, God, that thing you've set before them to do, God. God, may they do it with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength to the glory of God. And God, may you be glorified through everything in this church, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Amen.